most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning into our show is about helping people question their career reality. Now, this show, of course, is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests will provide advice and tips and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Now, our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show that will help you with your career, and it'll be a career that you're interested in. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, you want to go to the LA Talk Radio website. Little clue, if you're listening to me, you're already there. So just in case you want to jot it down, though, it's latalkradio.com if you want to refer us to anyone. And you want to click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1, scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. Now, this takes you directly to our archive page, and you can view the list of our past guests. And our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. You just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there we come up with all of our 4 years of shows, and they're fantastic, so you got to check them out. If you want to find out about our future guest, you have to visit the official Question Reality website. And you have to go there directly. It's not on the LA Talk Radio website. It's on the Question Reality website. And that address is questionrealityshow.com. Questionrealityshow.com. And I just want to say, oh my God, I'm going to give you an OMG, people, because we haven't even started booking. Well, technically, we haven't even started booking for our 2012 show. We usually start that in October. And do you know I'm already booked for January and I'm working on February? And I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible, because I had no idea that our show was going to be so popular. I've got people emailing wanting to be on the list for advertisers. I got to go hire two more assistants. I just can't handle it myself. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. So thank you. I appreciate it, but my goodness, let me just hire some people or else I'm going to drop dead and then we're not going to have a show. So thank you, everybody. February. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Love it. Love it. Love it. And we've got an exciting year coming up in 2012. I'm going to talk more about that in October because I got to get some things confirmed. But let's just say there's a possibility that Dog the Bounty Hunter might be on. I'm not saying anymore. I got to keep my fingers and toes crossed, but I got somebody working on it. And he was supposed to come on this year from the person that said that they had contact with him, but apparently it fell through, blah, blah, blah. But it looks good for next year. So I love that show. If you listen regularly, you know I am a huge reality television show. Love my dog, the Bounty Hunter. So that is very exciting. Now, what else is exciting is that we have a guy on today. Oh, my goodness. I love his voice. You know why? Because I love the Jersey, New York accent, and he's got this accent. accent, and you're going to hear it. And this is Soul Joel Richardson. Yes, it is. And among his many talents, he is a comedian, he is a comedy producer, he's a radio host, and he's an on-air personality. And he is here with us today. You might want to check out his websites while I'm going through my advertisers. It's souljoel.com, souljoel.com, and also thecomedypoint.com. Again, souljoel.com and thecomedypoint.com. If you want to just pull that up and kind of get an idea who he is while I tell you about these wonderful classes coming up. Actually, I'm just going to do one class today because we got so much to cover with Joel. So, But first, I want to tell you guys, I am exhausted because we just finished shooting our film. I'm excited about that. But, Fraction, I guess you've been following it. You know, I've been announcing it here and there. But we finally just finished shooting this weekend. And if you want to check it out, it's fractionthemovie.com. We're also on Facebook. And I want to tell you, I have worked with so many wonderful cast and crew members before. But I got to tell you, this bunch, these people were crazy awesome. They were so wonderful. I can't even tell you. And I have to do some special mentions because I was so impressed pretty much with all of them. But I really had a fondness for a couple of them. And I want to do a special mention on this guy, Jason Cerrone. He is a sound mixer and a boom operator. And he just is so robust. He's from Peru, and boy, his hands just went everywhere, and I was putting them some places they weren't supposed to go. But no, he's awesome. My husband was there, you know, I'm just kidding. But he's wonderful, really great job. Louis Fernandez was the director. Oh, I love this guy. He runs around with his little backpack, and boy, he's got a great eye, and he's cute as a button. And if you need a second AD, oh, my God, I can't even tell you. Jonathan Sang, that's all I need to say. Jonathan Sang, fantastic. This guy catered to my every whim and need. I wanted to clone him. I was ready to dump my husband, clone Jonathan Sang, because this man was awesome, and he was so professional, and he just got it done, and you really need that as your second AD, so great job. Michael Waxland, who is the DP, really creative, and lastly, the PAs. Now, the PAs, do we not give these people enough credit? We do not. And I was just, you know, sometimes you go on, when you're working on a set, a lot of the PAs, and understandably so, they are a little depressed because, God, they get walked on and stepped on, and they're not treated too well, and et cetera, et cetera. But I got to tell you, these PAs were so perky and upbeat, and they really just got her done. That's what they were doing. They got her done. And I got to point out Natasha Jovanovic and her husband, Matt. Oh, my goodness. If you ever want to hire PAs, I cannot tell you, you got to hire these two. They were working it out like Donnie and Marie. They were working it out. They were just on it. My glass wasn't even. Oh, you know, I was the executive producer, but my glass wasn't even, I had a water. It was just half full, and they were on it. They're like, do you need another water? And I'm like, yes, even though I didn't, I just felt like saying yes, because they wanted to give me that water. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And also my little Ernie Rivera, who, God bless him, he was just there, making my day wonderful. So again, if you are looking for a boom operator, a director, a second AD, a DP, and some PAs, these are the people to hire. Highly recommend them. And you know, I do not recommend everyone. You know, I'm very particular, but these guys had it all. So Two thumbs up for those people, my crew. And they are going to be on my music video. Yes, they are. I'm going to hire the whole team for my music video, which, by the way, I'll be starting production on that probably December or January. So you'll be bombarded with information about that next. Now, let's move on to a wonderful class. Now, you know, for the people, 2008, if you've been following me, most of you have, 2008, you know I went on an audition for Rick Milligan. Now, for those of you not in the acting world, in dancing or singing or comedy, you may not know who Rick Milligan is, but he's huge. He is like one of the biggest casting directors there is. He does Bones, the show on Fox. He did Sabrina the Teenage Witch. He cast for The X-Files, Married with Children, Shark, Valley of Dolls, et cetera, et cetera. It's just endless. He's actually on the studio lot to do the in-house casting. And I auditioned for him for Bones a couple years ago. Lovely man. Love this man. Okay, so Sunday, August 21st, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Again, Sunday, August 21st, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Exposure Studio, which is located 741 North Cahuenga Boulevard. Again, Exposure Studio, 741 North Cahuenga Boulevard in L.A. $50. $50. This is what you're going to get. Christine Serralo Saris is the associate at Rick Milligan Casting, and she is going to be holding a workshop. Now, I can't tell you how lucky you will be if you can get in on this workshop if you're good. Now, you gotta have talent. Getting there is half the battle, but you gotta have the talent. You're just not gonna, you know, go to the class and then the big star is gonna be over your head. You gotta have talent. So try to get to this class. And this show, as you know, Bones, which is the biggest one they're casting for right now, they have a revolving cast each week. So your chances of getting a part on there, if you're really good, you go to this workshop, this Christine sees you, she likes you, you'll get called in. So they cast pilots all year. And I would go. I would try to go if I were you. If you're an actor, you're really good, and you're interested in getting on Bones or any of the other shows that they are currently working on, you want to go to this class. You can check her out on IMDb. She's been casting forever. So again, Christine, C-I-R-A-O-L-O, Serralo Saras, S-Z. A-R-A-S. And you can check her out on imb.com, imdb.com. And again, if you want to take this class, you got to call Freedom Bridgewater. I love that name. Who the hell named him or her that? I don't even know who that is. Freedom Bridgewater. My God. So they were, somebody was dropping acid. I don't know. Freedom Bridgewater. At the casting workout, 310-986-5680. Again, 310-986-5680. I actually love this name now. The more I say it, Freedom Bridgewater, the more I love it. I'm getting attached to the name. And again, what you're going to learn in these classes, and this is information for all of you who've never taken a workshop. This is what you can expect. When you go to these classes, which I highly recommend if you're an actor, you must go to these workshops because these are where the casting people are. This is how you get seen by these casting people. And if you're good, you will get called in. It's not an audition process, but these are classes where you go. They have, you do a cold reading or depending on how the casting person decides they want to handle it. You go, you do a reading, and then if you're good, then they kind of stick your resume in their briefcase or purse and they walk out and the rest they leave there. So, but basically what these classes entail, you'll learn about audition techniques. You'll learn a little bit about the business of acting. You'll learn about office etiquette, which is very different from corporate office. they basically demystify the audition process, and they tell you how casting procedures differ between the pilots and the features and the episodics. And then you get performance adjustments and feedback. So you go up there, you do your scene with one of the other people in the class, and then they give you the adjustments. And they give you advice on seeking representation, which you should do, shouldn't do. And basically, it is an open forum Q&A. You can ask questions, and they give answers. And they tell you the general industry trends in casting. So you just – oh, and another good thing they do is they review your headshots and resume. So if you have any questions, you're new to the business, they are there to help you with that and tell you, no, your headshot sucks. Get another one. All right. So, woo, moving on and forward. Here we go to the exciting part of the show. Soul Joel. Wow, I love that name. We got to find out why he's named Soul Joel. So, Joel Richardson, also known as Soul Joel, has been in the comedy business for over 2 years now and has come a really long way. And his career began as a frat boy. And when he was a frat boy, he was urged to do stand-up comedy in front of a really large Wagner College crowd. And I guess it was such a success that he decided he was going to try his hand in front of his family and friends, and he just kept going. He was just such a success. I guess he was the funny as shit. He was a funny guy. So he just ran with it, and he finally decided to start his own production company, and he wanted to do high-energy shows all across the Northeast, which is what he's doing. Soul Joel Productions, which apparently is New York's latest comedy craze, established in 2007, and he has since built relationships, and he set up monthly shows in Staten Island, Brooklyn, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and every one of his productions brings award-winning headliners from comedy's best media. So he's bringing in the winners, the cherry pickers. He is doing it. I guess he would be a cherry picker. Oh, my goodness. So the people are from Comedy Central, Sirius Satellite Radio, XM Radio, Cringe Humor, and Opie and Anthony. So comedians from all over the tri-state area perform high-energy shows that he guarantees it's going to make you laugh. He's also done so many other things, but I just don't want to tell you about him. I want him to tell you about him. So without further ado, let's say welcome to Soul Joel. Joel, what is going on?
Priscilla, that was a great intro. Great intro. I was glad to have you on. It's raining out here in the Northeast. I'd rather be out in La La Land with you.
Well, I'm out of breath. So now it's your duty for the rest of the show to just continuously talk because I'm exhausted now.
I don't appreciate all that pressure.
Well, I got an easy question for you then. This is no pressure. I want to know when little Soul Joel Richardson was a baby, a little itsy baby boy, what career did you see yourself pursuing as a child?
Both my parents were in sales, so that's what I did out of college. I always wanted to be some sort of salesman. My mom's in real estate, my dad's a computer salesman, sells like equipment and stuff like that. So I always wanted to, I was always outgoing and always talking to people, love people, so sales.
So when you were a little child, you didn't want to be a fireman, a policeman, a baker. You wanted to sell stuff.
I'm cut from a different mold, you know?
Wow. So were you one of those kids that was out on the corner selling that damn lemonade for a dollar for a half a cup?
Yeah, always trying to do different stuff. And it's always in my head that I knew somehow, some way I was going to be in the public eye, going to be famous, but, you know, not that I'm there yet, but just, you know, I'm on my way. And I always knew. I just didn't know what my path was going to be.
Well, what steps did you take to pursue, or are you taking to pursue your career dream, your dream career?
The way it started was through Wagner College, where I got my undergraduate and then my MBA. When I went back and got my MBA, I was doing pharmaceutical sales, and they paid for it. So I was always continuously educating myself and setting goals and aspiring to achieve, my MBA. When I went back, all my classmates, you know, I would be having them, you know, laugh in class and at lunch, at dinner, and they told me, like, you really should try to do comedy. Have you ever even tried it? So, no, I went up there, and I tried. I got laughs. In fact, I had to get off stage because I went over my time. I was supposed to do 10 minutes. I ended up doing 12, and it was just that drug, that high of being on stage and making people laugh, bringing people's, you know, just laughter into their lives. And I never wanted to stop doing that.
Well, I'm with you, honey. It is a high. It is a high to make people laugh. It's just a great feeling. I mean, who doesn't want to make people happy? Now, let me ask you, what is your viewpoint on having, because you had mentioned that you graduated college and got an MBA, what is your viewpoint on having a college education in a different career field as a backup plan if you're pursuing a career in the entertainment industry, specifically the career of a comedian?
Well, believe it or not, most comedians do have their college degree, and they are highly educated, even though, you know, they're entertainers. But you have to be intelligent in order to make people laugh, just to, whether it's reacting off the crowd, make stuff up, but just to be knowledgeable of current events and topical and whatever jokes you're telling. People are highly intelligent, and I always think it's good to have a backup plan, which is why I've used comedy to get into other things, not just performing. So I always think it's good to have a backup plan, so they can never take your education away from you. So that's why I kind of I'm doing what I'm doing now, because if it ever doesn't work out or I need to go back into something, I still have my education, and my resume to fall back on.
You can still sell drugs. You can still be the pharmaceutical drug pusher. Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you, what five characteristic traits do you think that it takes to be a successful comedian?
Well, I mean, obviously funny, believing in yourself, high energy, but at the same time you could be low energy. So I just think, you have to have the ability to get on stage, charismatic, because you have to be able to not just sell your jokes, not just talk on stage. You have to use your body, use your facial expressions. It's not just about just saying your words. I don't know if that was five, Priscilla. I'm not a math major.
I don't know. You better be able to count those pills out of a bottle if it doesn't work out. But no, it wasn't five, but that's good enough. But, you know, when you were saying high energy and blah, 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 I was specifically, my mind was actually going to Richard Belzer, who is not high energy, but yet he is one of the funniest comedians I've ever seen. Is that the right name on Law and Order? Richard Belzer, you know, the guy with the...
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Belzer. I mean, who could be more low-key and mellow than him? But he has a way of delivering it. So how do you think that you, because there's so many comedians, how do you think that you can develop your style? Because, you know, I see a lot of comedians when they, especially those old school comedians, where they get up there and they have like the glass of liquor and a cigarette. And now that's so, to me, that's so cliche. And it's just, it's like, they need a prop and blah, blah, blah. I don't really dig that. But some people feel more secure doing comedy with props. But I think that's just maybe a nervous habit. And what do you think it takes if you're just starting out as a teenager and you want to be a comedian? What can you do to kind of find your style?
I think just getting on stage as much as possible, getting as much stage time, putting yourself in as many different situations as possible, whether it's a young crowd, an old crowd. One of the things that I learned a lot from was performing in front of a Narcotics Anonymous convention. So I had to walk in there, and the only thing, you know, for these people that are rehabbing or rehabilitating is I can only drink water or coffee. And not that I got inebriated before a show, but I would have like a drink or two just to relax. But with that show, I could never do it. So ever since then, I treat comedy just like anybody else's job. No one else drinks before the job. So I would, you know, your mind's clearer. And so that was over 3 years ago. I've been doing comedy for 5 years now. And so now when I'm on there, I just, you know, I'm able to think clear, and I learn a lot about that. So I think for any comedian starting out, just try to put yourself in as many different situations as possible, and then you could be living room comfortable, because that's how they start. When you're funny to make your friends laugh, then you get on stage, but it's hard to translate that as a brand new comedian, because you're just not comfortable in your own skin. But once that happens, then you can kind of develop your own voice. And they say that it takes about 5 years and then really 10 years to get completely comfortable, which sounds like a lot, but, you know, that's just the rule of thumb.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't just start any career. 5 years is the minimum, I would think, to get good at anything or even start to become proficient. Let's be honest, what are the trials and tribulations or ups and downs of being a comedian?
Well, first of all, this whole interview has been honest, but especially this answer.
But I don't know. Some comedians don't like to talk about the dark side too much. But all right, go ahead.
I think a lot of times with comedians, and I produce a lot of new comedian showcases on Staten Island. A lot of times you just hear stuff and you kind of get reminded, because you've been doing it for so long, the little things that matter. But, you know, certain comedians will point fingers at the crowd. They'll blame different. The blame should all be put on yourself. I mean, unless you get like a bad heckler that really interrupted your joke, or the people were rude. I mean, sometimes people are like, oh man, that was just an old crowd, they didn't get my material. Well, you got to adapt. I mean, you got to look, the host job when they go up to MC a show is to play around the crowd a little bit, test up, put a lot of feelers out there with different jokes, and then you kind of adapt yourself and your set based on that and the crowd. If you look and you see a bunch of older people, they're not going to want to hear dick jokes and fart jokes. You know, and if you go out there and do it, you're like, oh, the crowd was terrible. No, it wasn't. It was your material. Anybody will laugh at funny.
You are right. I am so glad that you said that, because that's exactly how I feel. I have heard that so many times when a comedian blames the audience, oh, they didn't get it, they were this and that. You are so right. Absolutely. Funny is funny. I think it's universal if you know your audience. It doesn't matter. It's funny. Oh, that was an excellent answer. I love it.
And one of the things that I've learned early on from my grandmother, who actually called into my radio show, is not the curse. I mean, she's like, oh, you don't have to do that. And that's one of the ways that I can adapt and be liked by so many different audiences, because I'm creatively funny, intelligently funny. Well, I don't need cursing to help.
Absolutely. I think it's cheap. It's just cheap and tawdry. What are your thoughts on going to comedy classes such as Second City? Now, I asked that because someone asked me that, a young 15-year-old boy. He's like, I want to be a comedian. Everybody tells me I should go to comedy classes, but they're really expensive. And he had been asking around, and other people have been saying, okay, well, they're expensive. There's a click. There's a glass ceiling. You can only go so far in these things, blah, blah, blah. I want to hear what you feel about it.
I think it really depends on the individual. Some people don't need it. If you have a couple of maybe mentors of older comedians that kind of help you. But for other people, they might not have that mentor. But it really depends on what class you go to. I wouldn't just say any class. You have to do some research. You know, ask some comedians, get a referral, because sometimes it can help with networking, meeting new people, especially if you, like I said, if you don't have a lot of friends already in the industry, you're going to meet a lot of colleagues, they're going to take the class with, the teacher, hopefully if they're well-respected, it could get you more stage time at whatever comedy club it's at. So it all depends on the individual performer, but it's not, I would say, the solution for everyone.
For people who are wondering what goes on in these comedy classes, what can you expect if you sign up for one of these? Now, I know what it is because I had a friend recently do it, and I was quite shocked. at what they do, but
yeah, because everybody gets naked. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, he would have been very happy at that. But why don't you tell us what happens if you? What can you expect going to these classes?
No, because a lot of they'll like you'll try out new jokes. You'll get feedback. So they have build an audience because of the class. Say it's 10 people, small environment, so you're not like have to worry about doing it in front of a bigger crowd. They'll work on the wording because you want to try to be as funny as possible in the least amount of words. And usually the rhythm is set up, punchline, a rhythm of three. So set up, punchline, and they'll help dissect your jokes, take that out, you know, unnecessary words, just get to the funny as fast as possible. And being in a class helps that because they're there. You get funny a lot quicker because you're just working on your material rather than just going to an open mic where you might only have 5 minutes, 8 minutes. You know, a class is going to be a couple of hours a week, so you kind of adapt a lot faster if you're not getting that stage time.
I am so glad you just I got to say, I'm very impressed with you so far because you are bringing up things that other comedians that I've talked to have not brought up. For example, not many people know that sitcoms, for example, and comedy, it runs in a series of three. And I love that you brought that up. I really do, because people don't even realize it, but there is a formula to comedy. Like when you watch a sitcom, there's a formula. Not many people know that. And just like when you do a joke, it's a formula, and it revolves around the number three. So I'm very glad that you brought that up. And we're not going to do like a whole class on it, but if you want to be a comedian, just remember that the three is the lucky number. Now, you were just talking about the classes not being intimidating. Now, I am wondering if that might be an East Coast thing, maybe a Chicago thing, which, again, I don't know about, because I was recently talking to a friend of mine who went to this, signed up for this workshop, this comedy workshop. And the first night, the teacher said, put them on stage. Each person had to go up in front of the class and try to be funny. Then the teacher told them that you will be doing a showcase at the end of this workshop for your family and friends, and they do it at the Comedy Improv. I nearly had a heart attack because I thought, oh my God, that must have been terrifying. And yes, they make them go up and they do a 5-minute set.
Well, I think it's like, you know, throwing you right to the fire, throwing you right to the wolves. I mean, that's what comedy is going to be about, and it's just like that, a regular show, but on a bigger scale. So I think it's good, because if you can't handle that or you don't think that's for you, then I think that kind of answers your question about being a comedian. I mean, yes, it might be intimidating, but I think it's good just to kind of put yourself out there. And it's kind of like, you know, losing all that fear of being on stage because you see the lights. You know, you're in front, you got the microphone, everything's the same. It's like a simulation. So it's great practice. I think that's a good strategy. And the showcase at the end almost is a direct comparison to that first night. How far have you progressed? How have you worked that? Because you remember that first night, oh, you might not have been funny, but then all of a sudden you're in front of a big crowd with a lot of people. How did you improve over that time period?
Absolutely. It's terrifying because I'm not a comedian, but wow. So you can take the classes, go at a slow pace, or you can take the classes and then jump right into it. So I guess it's personal style. Now, let's talk about you. Now, I heard, well, we are talking about you. Well, you're talking about your opinion, but let's talk about what you do now. I heard that you do 200 plus live comedy shows per year. How is this possible, Mr. Soul Joel?
Well, it actually started in 2007, a year after I started doing comedy. A lot of times you start doing shows, you have to bring people in order to get stage time, bring 5 people, bring 10 people. Well, I met up with this promoter and DJ that had to set up a show in New Jersey, where I'm originally from. I live in Staten Island now, where I went to college. And 6 hours before the show, he canceled it and said, you know, the owner didn't sign off. He gave this lame excuse. Well, I had reconnected with people on MySpace because MySpace was popular then, and Facebook. And so I had all these people that were coming that I emailed me. I didn't have their phone numbers. And I had a quick scramble, get on my computer and try to – because they were coming for like 30 minutes away. And if they weren't there, if I wasn't there, I would have felt horrible if they drove all that way for nothing. So I luckily got in touch with them, and no one went that was supposed to. And I just felt helpless in that situation. I never wanted to be in that situation again. So 2 months later in September, I started Soul Joel Productions, and I just never looked back. I've just been networking with other comedians, and over the last 4 years, I've branched out, and I've had over 300 comedians working for me. So last year in 2010, I produced shows in 12 different states, from Florida up to Massachusetts over to Ohio.
Now, when you say you produced the shows, what are you talking about? Like, you booked comedians at a club, or are you talking about like a full song and dance, so to speak? What are you talking about when you produce the shows?
It's almost like I'm an event planner, where I hire the comedians, I get the venue, I bring it all together, get press coverage, media coverage, get the audience there. Other times, I'll be contacted by a fundraiser to raise money, so I'll sell tickets on my website. So that's kind of the life of a producer.
So do you go out seeking work for these comedians, sort of like an agent status, or how? I'm not sure. Like, what if you needed to book a show and you called me up? How would you sell me on hiring you?
Well, they would contact me, and then they kind of tell me what you know, cause it's for, or what kind of venue is that. Like Wednesday, I got contacted by a promoter to do a show in Stamford, Connecticut. Now, Stamford, Connecticut is a little bit more of an affluent area. They say they have a crowd from like mature crowd from like 35 to 50. So I kind of adapt and get comedians for that. You know, I know what to expect.
Yes, I'm from Monroe, Connecticut, and yes, you better bring on the funny or we're going to boo you out of there. No, this is cute. But yeah, they are a particular crowd. I'd do a little research on that if I were you. So basically, people call you and they know that you have comedians and you send them out, sort of like an agent, but you're not an agent.
No, I'm more of a booking a booker, like that's what they call it in comedy, they'll contact me and I'll contact the comedians, contract them out and organize them. And then because of that, I started managing comedians. So, and getting their schedules together and promoting them and booking them full time. So, you know, a lot of different relationships had developed because of that, but now people know to come to me, and I've helped countless organizations raise money, from sports teams to, you know, the American Cancer Society to, you know, anything you can think of, I'm doing, you know, fundraisers for.
Now, do you just do that on the East Coast, or can you do that in L.A. as well?
Yeah, I could do that anywhere.
So you have comedians out here in California? So if I called you up, I'm like, yo, Soul Joe, I need a show. I got a birthday party coming up. Can you help me? Yo, what would you do?
Absolutely.
What are you going to give me in L.A.?
Well, it's funny. A lot of the comedians from New York, you know, they start moving to L.A. because they get some TV work. One of my friends who I really started out with, he was my first headliner, was Julian McCullough. I went to high school with him, and he's helped network me to get to know other comedians. He's had his own half-hour Comedy Central special, and he does the warm-up for the Colbert Report. Well, September 1st, he's moving to L.A. because he's going to have his own show on E! Entertainment with female comedian Whitney Cummings. So that's going to start in February of 2012. So a lot of guys that I know now get writing jobs and TV jobs out there. So, you know, it's just a migration.
Wow. So any comedians here in L.A. listening to the show, you want to get on souljoel.com, call them up like, yo, Joel, I'm in L.A. I'm a comedian. Book me, baby. So there you go. Now, you have a weekly radio show, The Comedy Point. Now, how did that come to be? What's that all about? And how can we profit from your Comedy Point?
Well, I'll tell you, it's on Tuesdays from 6 to 8 Eastern time. You can go right to thecomedypoint.com. That started in September of 2009, And it's just funny how everything has transpired with that show. It started in upstate New York on 99.1 FM and then moved down to where we're at now in WIFI 1460 AM. And then this year have now got syndicated on three different stations. In April, we got syndicated on BeMoreRadio.com, which is down in Baltimore. And then last week, we got syndicated in Kansas City on KCOR. And then this week, we just got syndicated on TalkSuperStation.com. So it's another online internet station. So now we're on four different stations. Two out of the three put us on live. And it's just now I'm off co-host Christine Meehan. She's from Philadelphia, an improv with an improv background, originally from Delaware. She started with us in February, or actually in January. But my head writer, Barack, he's been with me since October. And it's just funny how if you surround yourself with good people, what happens. I met him after the show had already started in September. I'm standing directly next to him. When, he was working his job that he worked before this, and I was emceeing a wine tasting event for the Heart Society on Staten Island, and we just started talking. We had some mutual friends, and I had just quit my day job in pharmaceutical sales, and he just told me he was nothing but a burnout stockbroker who was doing this job just to get health insurance for him and his wife, and he really wanted to be creative, and that was his lifelong dream. And he said, which really stuck with me, and I believe everything happens for a reason, Priscilla, what he said to me was, the less money I'd made in my life, the happier I had been. So, and I left a $100,000 a year job in pharmaceutical sales, cashed out my 401k in 2009, lived off that for a year just to pursue my dream.
Wow.
And ever since then, he's been, if I got married today, he'd probably be my best man. That's how close
we
are.
Well, what is the comedy point about? Like, what do you do on the comedy? Well, why should we listen to that? What are we going to hear if we tune in?
You're gonna hear Barack, myself, and Christine interview some of the top talent all over the country. No matter who we have on people, we try to make it funny. So last week we had on George Carlin's daughter, Kelly Carlin. We've had on Mick Foley, Liz Winstead, just a lot of different guests from all walks of life. But we have a hustler of the week who is an entrepreneur that's running their own running their own company in today's tough economy. We put on a video of the day, a quote of the day. This is on our website. So our website gives you a different thing to tune into. But then we have my grandmother who calls in, and she has that grandmother way about her. She loves everyone, wants to give people life advice. Mad Dog Manor, one of the comedians that I manage, he calls in at the top of the second hour, and it's called Dog in the Park, so we never know where he's calling in from, and a couple times he's been interviewing people on the street. But we always have a couple of featured guests, and it's just 2 hours a week just to laugh and kind of forget your troubles.
Well, it sounds like I'm listening to the Howard Stern Show, so hopefully you guys are as funny as the Howard Stern Show is to me. We're going to have to tune in, and when is that? Every Tuesday?
Tuesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern.
And they would log on to thecomedypoint.com. It's an internet radio show.
We're on transistor radio too.
Okay.
We're on 1460 AM in Philadelphia and South Jersey.
Okay, so if they go to thecomedypoint.com, all of those radio stations are listed on there that they can tune into, right?
Exactly.
Yay. All right, let's talk about your daily podcast talk show, which is Lifestyles Radio, where I was very impressed with this. You teach the mentally disabled radio and film?
Exactly. Well, this is one of the things that kind of paid off for me chasing my dreams and not doing my day job anymore. It's kind of people take you more seriously when they know this is how you're putting food on your table. And last year, I was at my annual golf outing for my fraternity, Delta Nu, at Wagner. And the guy that was in charge of lifestyle said, hey, I heard you're doing a radio show. Would you come and teach my guys, who are high-functioning, mentally disabled adults, radio? So I started in the fall of 2010, last year, once a week, every Monday, and I brought Barack with me, who's my head writer for the Comedy Point, and we got so popular, in such a short amount of time. In December, they offered us a full-time job, working about 34, 35 hours a week with full-time benefits, teaching them radio, film, and now we're actually starting our own newsletter as well.
Wow! All right, so you're working there full-time?
That was a mouthful, Priscilla.
It was a mouthful, but I'm just wondering how you fit that in with everything else you do.
It's just, I mean, they're very supportive of what I'm doing. They hired me as Soul Joel, so I do some Comedy Point stuff while I'm on there, while I'm with them, but, you know, on lunch hour and stuff like that, I'll take a break. But it's, if you Google Soul Joel Learns How to Dance, Barack came up with this idea of having two of the guys who love to dance. They love music. That's what they're into. They're passionate. And they love, whenever they hear music, they start dancing. You just feed off their energy. They're just happy because it's Sunday. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And they taught me how to dance. It was to Britney Spears' Toxic. And it was the actual song that we danced to. And these guys just dance circles around me.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Let's that website, it's lfdsi.org, right? What does that stand for?
It's Lifestyles for Disabled.
Yeah.
Staten Island.
All right. Woo! Way to go. You're earning your credits in heaven. It's all about earning the credits in heaven. And lastly, we got about 5 minutes to go, but I want to talk about this Staten Island Comedy Festival that you've been producing for the past 4 years. What's going on the island?
Yeah, well, that's my baby. We did this
Staten Island women! All right.
Yeah. Well, this is the fourth time that I did it. The first year was 4 nights. The second year was 6 nights. The last 2 years have been 7 nights, six different venues. And this year it was great because we teamed up for Lifestyle. So all the money and the proceeds went to Lifestyles for the Disabled.
Isn't that nice? Now, what do you do when you produce this comedy festival?
I put together different venues, different parts of the island, and different comedians. We had auditions this year in Philadelphia and Baltimore, so we brought some talent from outside the area, neighboring cities, and brought them here, and with national headliners. Julian headlined the last night because I wanted to get him to headline one more show before he moves to L.A., and Friday night was headlined by Pete Corielli, who's a regular on Jim Brewer. He's had his own hour Comedy Central special. Giving different people a reason to come out every night. And there was a different show for everyone, no matter what venue. Because everybody has that kind of like Cheers place where they like to go to their home, you know, their hometown neighborhood place. And so I got a bunch of different venues, from a golf club to restaurants to the comedy club, catering halls. It was pretty cool. It was a fun event.
So the website, StatenIslandComedyFestival.com, is that your website you've created specifically for the Staten Island Comedy Festival?
Yep, that's another website that I've created. And, there's a lot of people that should be thanked for that. I mean, Scott Chamberlain, who's my co-founder of Soul Joel Productions, he helped start the festival with me. And then this year I had Chrissy Zanetti and Barbara Sanchez, who both helped me out with the website and flyers and sponsors. I mean, they worked tirelessly for no money, volunteered their time, and I couldn't have done it without them.
Well, I'm just wondering, my God.
I'm a name dropper. I'm a name dropper, Priscilla.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You can drop the names.
I only have a few more minutes.
You can drop the names. I don't care whose name you drop. I'm still wondering how the hell you do all this. I'm just amazed. You must be up like 23 of the 24 hours working your ass off.
That's the joke on Facebook. All my friends who like sit there and they're like, when do you ever sleep? I just saw you post last night at 1 in the morning, and now I'm seeing you post again at 7. I mean, even if you went to sleep the minute after you posted, when are you sleeping?
But you know what? You are making the most of your life. We have such a short time here. We have to do what we can, keep ourselves. But every second, your life is having a countdown. It's just like on Logan's Run. Your life is being counted down, and you don't even know if you're going to have a full life. So you are living it to the fullest, and you're doing your thing. And I encourage everyone, whether you have health issues or you are full and bristly and you have excellent health, try to do as much as you can with your life, whether you're skinny, whether you're fat, tall, short, looking like a million or tore up from the floor up, do your thing and just do something and be active, because who the hell knows what happens when we go to the next life, or if we just go and that's just lights out and that's it. So you're really working it out, Joe, and I'm very proud of you, as I'm sure your whole family is. And I want to thank you so much for coming and sharing that energy with us and telling us about your wonderful organizations. I want to point them out again, souljoel.com. That's the 200 live comedy shows, thecomedypoint.com, and his LFDSI.org, which is your daily podcast talk show, and StatenIslandComedyFestival.com. And if you're a comedian, you want to go and check out Soul Joel Richardson. My God. Now, we got 1 minute. Let me know. I got a joke for you. I'm not going to ask you to tell me yours, but I got one for you, all right?
Shoot, hit me with it, Priscilla.
It's not even a joke, but you better laugh and just act like it's the funniest damn thing and you are all over it. All right.
Now that is a lot of pressure. Go ahead.
All right, it's a blonde. It's a blonde joke. I hope you can deal. All right.
Okay.
A blonde opened up a salon next to a graveyard, and do you know what she named it?
No, what'd she name it?
Curl up and die, D-Y.
Oh.
Woo! Hey, now! There you go. And that, we're going to end the show with. Thank you so much, Joel, Soul Joel. Thank you for coming on the show. Please, you are welcome anytime. Come on next year. Send your comedians my way. Thank you, my darling. SoulJoel.com, The Comedy Point. Say goodbye to your fans.
Thanks, everybody, for listening in, and thank you so much for having me, and best of luck with your show for the rest of the year.
You too, baby lips. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Everyone.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.